I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. If there are guests in our midst, also a hearty welcome. God has given us this opportunity where we can set a day aside and prepare ourselves for that Holy Communion. It is not only a time of preparing ourselves, but it is also an invitation to this communion, that this table that Jesus will be preparing for us. And we must say that we are a privileged people, that he would invite us to this table, remembering what it all cost him. And so we just want to be thankful that we are part of that family, that he wants us to be there. Let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and thank you for this hour where we have an opportunity for preparing ourselves for your Holy Communion. And help us to use our heart the way you had planned to be used, and that is a clean heart, a loving heart, and a forgiving heart. Even if we don't always do this, we are assured that when we come to you for forgiveness, you will forgive us. And Lord, we also pray for those that do not think that communion is all that important, that you would stir their hearts so that they would realize how important and how privileged it is. And Lord, we also thank you for all these dear souls that have come and want to partake of that Holy Supper that will be prepared for us. And I also ask you to be with me and use me to feed these souls this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take the red book and turn to page 168, just as I am. 168.
Amen. 63, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Preparation is not something that is new to us. We know all about preparation. We prepare ourselves all the time. We prepare for the day. We prepare meals. We prepare to go places. We prepare to go on a trip. And depending what kind of a trip we want to take, we prepare accordingly. If we want to take a short trip, we won't prepare a whole lot. But if we want to take a long trip, we will prepare quite a bit more. And as Christians, we could say we will also be going on a trip. And we know that destination. We know where we want to go. And we also know that we will not take anything along with us. So we need to prepare ourselves accordingly. Our destination is heaven. And we know our destination. We know how to get there. Because Scripture tells us exactly how to get there. In John 14:6, Jesus says that He is the way, the life, and the truth. There is no other way to heaven but through Him. So it is important that we are sure of our destination. And when we're sure of our destination, then it is easier to prepare ourselves. I want to go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. There, Jesus is, comparing the kingdom of heaven. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Jesus starts off a number of parables with the kingdom of heaven. He is telling us how it is going to be. And in these parables, we also find that he's always comparing the obedient with the disobedient, or we could say those that are ready for heaven and those that are not. And he also gives the end result of each, which is very definite. There is no black and white. There is no gray areas. This parable was written to those that believe, to those that know that Jesus will be coming for the second time. And the bridegroom that he's talking about is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is coming to get his bride, or the children of God. And he will take them to this wedding feast or to heaven. When we read this parable, we sometimes question at the end of it, why did only 5 get to go to this wedding feast? Didn't they all believe? It says they were all waiting for him. And likewise, it is with us today in this world. If we would ask people, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? I'm sure the vast majority would say they want to go to heaven. But in order for us to go to heaven, we have to commit ourselves, submit ourselves to the ordinance of Jesus Christ, which is repentance and baptism. Yes, it says that all 10 of these virgins, they took their lamps. They were going out to meet the bridegroom. Then what about those 5 foolish? Weren't they all waiting? Yes, they were. In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And what is his Father's will? That we should believe, repent, believe, and be baptized. We have many people out there that want to go to heaven. They believe in Jesus. Satan believes in Jesus. But they have not made that commitment to Jesus. That has to be done. It is an ordinance. We have no other choice but to do it. And it says all 10 had their lamps with them, but only 5 took oil. Yet all 10 were waiting for the bridegroom. We could say that the 5 that took their oil, they had the Holy Spirit in them. Because Jesus says, if we accept him as our personal Savior, we will receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that is in him will be in us and us in him. But that commitment has to be made. We have to commit our lives to Christ. Because we don't know when Jesus will come. And likewise with these 10. They were wanted to be ready. As it says in Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Yes, those that have received Christ as their personal Savior have the Holy Spirit living in them, and they are living examples of the freedom that they have found in Christ. In Matthew 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This can only be done through the Holy Spirit that is in us. And if we have not accepted Christ, we cannot be a light because we do not have that Holy Spirit. But our lives will show that we are like the 5 wise virgins. But what about those 5 that did not take any oil with their lamps? Yes, they did believe. They were even waiting. Yet they had not made that commitment. They thought there was a lot of time left. It had been preached for 2,000 years. Christ hadn't come yet. They were still enjoying the things of this world. They still wanted to live this life that they thought was freedom and joy. But friends, you can only find joy and freedom after making a commitment with Christ. The joy that is with the world is only short-lived. But the joy in Christ is now and forever. And it says that the bridegroom tarried. Why did the bridegroom tarry? The bridegroom, Jesus, he is patient with us. Jesus does not want the death of a sinner. No, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, Jesus paid for every soul. He paid with his blood on the cross, and he does not want to be shortchanged. And so he's making every opportunity available so that individuals will accept him as their personal Savior. Yes, Jesus wants all of his brides. And if someone has not made that commitment, do it today. There is still time today. And yes, even though we have made that commitment, we know at times we backslide and we need to be reminded. But we need to be watchful against temptations and distractions. Then it says, the cry went out. The bridegroom cometh, go and meet him. And before they went to meet him, they trimmed their lamps. In other words, they did a self-examination to see if they were ready to meet him. And the foolish five, they found themselves wanting. They were not ready. They did not have that Holy Spirit. So they asked the five wise if they could have some of their oil to put in their lamps. So that they could also be ready to meet him. But accepting Jesus as a personal Savior is a personal thing. No one can do it for us. We have to do it ourselves. We have to answer for ourselves. And the five wise virgins tell the five foolish that they're supposed to go get and buy their own. And the five wise were ready to meet the bridegroom, and the bridegroom took them to this wedding feast. The five foolish had had their chance. The bridegroom had tarried, but they had not taken that opportunity. And now it was too late. The five did go out. And when they came back, they found that the five wise had been taken to the wedding feast. And what did they find? The door was shut. And I'm sure they knocked on that door till Jesus' voice was there and says, "I know you not." Yeah, those are the words we never want to hear from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, we are preparing ourselves also for that wedding feast. But we have to prepare ourselves in faith because we've never seen that before. But it is not a blind faith. The Spirit in us, the Word of God, they are both witnesses to that. It's like in the story of Noah. When he was preparing for the flood, he built this ark. And the Lord also tarried, gave them 120 years. And sometimes we just cannot wrap our heads around it. During all that time, only one family was steadfast in the faith and believing that. And there also, when the ark was finished, it started raining, and the door was also shut. Friends, we've all been invited. And should be a privilege that we are invited. That Jesus would have come while we were yet sinners. We just want to thank him what he has done for us, so that we also will be ready when he comes again. Amen. Before we go over to the second portion of our message, I want to give you all the opportunity, whoever is able, to go and bend a knee. And I have a prayer request at this time. It says, please pray for Agatha Peters. She has cancer and pain, and pray that she can find peace in the Lord. And she will be having tests on Tuesday in Winnipeg. So at this time, I'd also ask you to invite to pray for Agatha Peters and also for the family. With the assurance where two or three or more are gathered in his name, God will answer prayer.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 497, Sweet By and By. 497, let's all stand. Jesus said that he had come to fulfill the law. And the law of the Old Testament was given over to Jesus in the New Testament. The law governed the people during the Old Testament time, but now we are living in the New Testament time, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ that governs us. We can either accept or reject the blood that he shed for us, and we will be judged accordingly. But also in the Old Testament times, they had a feast of the Passover. It was a feast that so that the children of Israel would remember what God had done for them, how he had rescued them from slavery. And this was to be commemorated once a year so that they would not forget, and also a reminder to the generations to come that they would also continue with that. But in the New Testament, we could say that has been given over to communion. Communion, Jesus said, we were to continue after he had had communion with his disciples, continue with his communion till he would come again. And the church has done that ever since. And it is also so done so that the future generations will also know what Jesus has done for them, died on the cross for our sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes.'" Yes, this is supposed to be held till the time when Jesus will come again. We want to go to Luke chapter 14. Talking about a supper. And at that time, Jesus was talking to the children of Israel, how they refused him, and if they refused him, how he would go to the Gentiles. But this is also a lesson for us today, not only 2,000 years ago. Luke 14, starting with verse 16. "Then said he unto him, 'A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." He's talking about a certain man. This certain man is God. He has made a great supper, and he has invited many. And this supper that he has prepared for us is his son, Jesus Christ. And when God says, all things are ready, that everything has been done for us. Jesus came to earth as man. He died a cruel death on the cross. He was buried, and yet he defeated death by rising from the grave. And that is not all what he did. Before he ascended into heaven, he said, "I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again so that you can be where I am." And also, he was not going to leave us comfortless. He says, "I will send you a comforter." And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And all of these things have been done. That is why God says, "It is now ready." Yes, the finished work of redemption on Calvary has been done by Jesus. And he's inviting many to partake of this great supper. And he's sending out a servant to tell them, those that he had invited. They all come up with excuses. One says that he wants to look at some of the real estate that he had bought. Well, you would think he would have looked at it first before he invested. Just another lame excuse. Putting the love of material possessions ahead of that gracious invitation. Another had bought 5 yoke of oxen. He wanted to try them out. Another just excuse. I'm sure he tried them out before he bought them. This is someone who, we could say, puts his job, profession, or business, or whatever it is, ahead of the calling of God. And the third, well, we could say that should be a good excuse. He'd married a wife. Family is very important. But we shall not put family before God. Yes, there are times when one has to sacrifice family to serve God. And if possible, serve God with family. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hebrews 12, verse 25 says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Yes, there are unlimited privileges and glories in the Christian faith. We do not have to look at the world. No, God is offering all of this to us. He's offering us peace and joy. And when we look into the world, we can see that the world cannot offer peace and joy. But to refuse this invitation is to perish. And the servant, he comes back with these excuses. And it makes the master very angry. The guests maybe thought they would come next time. Doesn't tell us. They might get another invitation. But they didn't get another invitation. And the master tells his servant to go out, invite the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. In other words, invite those that are not tied down to this world. Those that are not tied down to this world, they have nothing to keep them away from this banquet. Yes, they were only happy to accept this invitation. And it says, after all these were invited, there was still room. And he says, go out into the highways and hedges and invite them to come. Yes, his banquet table has room for everyone. Yes, Jesus died for everyone. Everyone is invited, as stated in Revelations. Revelations 22, verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." What happened to those original guests that were invited? They shall not taste of this supper. They were too busy. In Mark 8, verse 36, says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So how are we to come to this table of communion? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 to 32. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. Yes, it is a personal matter. We are to examine ourselves, not to find fault with one another, but we should examine ourselves. As stated in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And God also chastens us when we backslide, so that we are worthy. In the Old Testament, in order to partake of the Passover feast, the home had to be cleaned of leaven. No leaven could be in that home. If there was leaven in that home, they could not partake of the Passover feast. So the kneading troughs, they were cleaned thoroughly so that all the leaven would be removed. The home had to be cleaned. The place where all of this was stored had to be cleaned. And after they had cleaned that, the whole house was searched again so that there would be no more leaven, so that they could partake. And then they went to God and told him that they had cast out all the leaven that they could find in the house. And if there was any left that they did not know about, that his heart would also cast it out. They made sure that they were right with God. And likewise, we are also supposed to clean our heart. We need to make it completely clean. Make things right wherever we need to make things right, whether with our brother or sister, situations. And we can also go to God and ask for forgiveness if there's any that we have missed. Sometimes we've done something to somebody, we don't know where they are anymore. Maybe they have passed on. But God knows. And if our heart is right with God and we ask, he will take care of it. But if we go on living in sin and then partake of the Lord's Supper, he says we are living a lie. Our actions are not matching up with our words. So it is important that we do a cleansing. Not only a cleansing right before the Lord's Supper, but the cleansing should be an everyday thing. It should be a maintenance thing. A little maintenance every day is a lot less work than a complete overhaul. Let us examine ourselves. And if we examine ourselves, God will not chasten. But if we go on in sin, he will chasten us because he loves us. In 1 John, chapter 2, verse 9, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, if we confess and ask for forgiveness, what does God say? He says that he will throw it into the deepest part of the sea, never to be brought up again. But I'm sure many of you, many of us, most of us, probably have had times and questioned that. We have had sin and asked God for forgiveness, and he's thrown it in the deepest part of the sea and has come back to us. It is not God that's bringing that sin back to us, but it is Satan. If we have had heartfelt regret, God will never bring it before us again. It is Satan that does these things. And it is also important that we not only have forgiveness of our brothers and sisters, but also that we have personal forgiveness. That we are able to forgive ourselves so that we do not doubt that we are forgiven. In 1 John, Psalm 51. Psalm 51 verses 1 to 4 and 10 to 13. The writer says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." And then in verse 10 to 13, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." That is what a clean heart needs to do: convert sinners unto God, to be a witness. And if we are not ready to partake of the supper that the Lord has prepared, we are not ready for Jesus' second coming. And when we partake of this supper, it is as close as we can come to Jesus Christ. Yes, I know we have the Holy Spirit in us, but when we allow the Spirit to do its work, it is almost as if one can feel the presence of Jesus in the room. And why wouldn't he be present? Because we are partaking of the bread and the wine, which is his body and blood. I want to leave you with two verses that we find in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen." May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you have given us to prepare. Thank you for this opportunity of getting ready. It is not only a time to prepare for the Lord's Supper, but also a time to prepare for Jesus' second coming. Thank you, Lord, for making this possible, for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for the remission of our sins. If this had not been done, we would all be lost. And even though we have various natures, help us to get along as brothers and sisters. Jesus says in John 15:17, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." And Lord, help us to fulfill this command. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And whoever is able, let us once again kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 483. He the pearly gates will open. 483.
Good morning to all you fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. You truly have been blessed. I want to thank Brother Jake for today's preparation message. Thank you, Jake. A few announcements. We have planned a church picnic for July 17th at the Winkler Park after a combined service at 10 a.m. that morning. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer for those that would like to help with the picnic. Also, next Sunday is Communion Sunday. For both services, there's a German one at 9 a.m. and an English at 11 a.m. Also, have an announcement of intended ordination. On March 15th, 2022, a ministerial election was held in Altona, and I, Shane Friesen, was elected to be a minister of the Summerfelt Mennonite Church of Manitoba. Since the election, my wife Kim and I have felt the prayer support offered up for us, and we appreciate it very much. We have prayerfully considered God's call on our lives and have accepted his call, standing in faith. The ordination service is planned for June 26th, that's next Sunday at 3 p.m. in Altona. Lord willing, we understand that this new role should be entered into gravely, for the Apostle James writes about teachers of the gospel in James 3:1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Jesus says in Mark 3:25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Neither Kim nor myself want to cause anyone to stumble in their Christian faith by something that we have or have not done or said. And it is certainly our sincere desire that the Summerfelt Mennonite Church of Manitoba be made stronger with us, a minister couple, not weaker. Thus, in order that we may present ourselves as servants to God in the way that he desires, we humble ourselves before you, the congregations, and before the ministers of the Manitoba Summerfelt Mennonite Church, and we ask, if there is anything that you hold against us, would you please forgive us? We have also come before God's throne of grace seeking clean hearts, including forgiveness for any potential sins or faults that may hinder his ministry through us. That being said, if there is anything that you believe God would have you discuss with us in preparation for ordination, you may contact us. In Christ, Shane and Kim Friesen. Also, just to give you a little update on the Ukrainian family that we had a collection for a while back. The parents' names are Artur and Natasha Korebniak. They have five children, and her mother is also with them. They are settling in and doing well. Sharon and myself had an opportunity to visit them about 10 days ago. The parents have both started work at Elias Woodwork, and there's a picture of them on the bulletin board in the back, and they still covet your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements, Brother Pete. Also want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our worship service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.